morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. We have a few announcements this morning. Minister's office hours are on the back of your bulletin. Women's Bible study is Monday at 7 p.m. Choir rehearsal is Thursday at 6:45. Workday is Tuesday, April 28th from 9 to 12, and extra hands are always welcome. And today, senior youth group, grades 5 to 12, will meet. And the May upper room is on the table in the back of the sanctuary. Are there any other announcements? No? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 357. We call ourselves disciples, verses 1, 2, and 5, and please stand. Worship is to ascribe worth to honor, to praise, to acknowledge as majestic and powerful. So while we certainly come this morning to receive a benefit and a blessing, we come first of all to honor God. For God is the creator and sustainer of all, who was and is to come. Let us pray. O Lord God, in whom we live and move and have our being, open our eyes that we may behold your fatherly presence ever about us. Draw our hearts to you with the power of your love. Teach us to be anxious about nothing. And when we have done what you have given us to do, help us, O Savior, to leave the results to your wisdom. Take from us all doubt and distrust. Lift our thoughts up to you in heaven and help us to know that all things are possible to us through your Son, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our offertory hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 610. Living for Jesus, verses 1 and 3.
present these offerings as members of the worldwide family of God, following the example of Christ in expressing our love and concern for others. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 23, found in your Old Testament Bible on page 501. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is I Believe in Miracles by Ash Sanctuary Choir.
Miracle. Good morning. And welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this beautiful Sunday morning as we gather together today. It is easier to believe in miracles than on other days when the sun is shining and the birds are singing and it feels so good. And it's also easier to believe in miracles when you look out and to see one another and are encouraged and uplifted by the presence of one another in the body of Christ as we gather this morning. But it's also important that when we go through days like yesterday, when I was sitting at my son's soccer game, freezing to death in the middle of April, that I could still see the miracles that are happening around us, as Wanda reminded us and pointed out. Because then it's a little bit harder to feel good about the world or your day. That's when faith matters the most, and of course, especially in the times of our life when things are cold and dreary, then our faith is the most important thing to us. And as we gather together to lift our prayers to the Lord, I want to remind us of this, because for so many people, we have come through a winter, whether a physical one or a spiritual one, and have lived to see the other side. And we know that not everyone does. And we have been asked to pray for some people recently who got stuck in moments they could not get out of, and to pray for their families. But I want to share you some good news of a prayer update that I have for you. We've been praying for James and Durko for about 3 months now. He accidentally hung himself in his parents' basement of playing one winter day, and has since been in Children's Hospital very near to death, and even to the point where it did not look like there was any hope. He has now been moved to Children's Rehab Center, and I saw him this past week. He cannot speak, but he is conscious and awake in every other way. And it is really a miracle that he has come this far, and we want to continue to give thanks to God for that and to pray for him, because he does still have a great deal to go. And also want to continue to pray for his family, his father especially, also named James and Durko. You know, it's of course been a very serious trial, and they're also dealing with him taking time off of work and dealing with those type of issues, financial issues, a lot of things to be concerned about. And yet the most important thing that his son is still alive and getting better. So we give thanks for the care he's received. We give thanks for the rebirth that's happening in their life. I also want to lift up a friend of mine, without mentioning his name to our prayers. He is on the other end of that spectrum. He is in a very dark and deep place in his life, and don't think he will get through it without our prayers. So please, if you just pray for my friend and lift him up into God's care, knowing that God knows his name, and just continue to pray for his hope and his faith, because he needs that very much now, and I do very much believe that will help him a great deal. And so now let us share with one another our concerns and our joys, our updates for those who are on our prayer list and new people that we want to add to our prayer list this morning. Cheryl? That's great for them, and we rejoice for their journey and their return home. Thank you. Don? Thank you for sharing that with us, and you should know that our outreach arm of the church, Week of Compassion, is already there, helping the victims of that earthquake. As always, if you feel moved to help, that is a great organization that you can donate to, and they will help the victims of the earthquake as well as disasters throughout the world. Thank you for reminding us of that, Don, and we will continue to pray for all the people throughout the world who suffer such terrible ordeals. Well, that sounds wonderful. That's almost a full pound more than when she was born, right? Oh, even more. That's great news. And so hopefully she'll be going home soon. You're welcome. Tina. Thank you. Tilly had surgery on her foot, is that correct? Pray for her. Thank you very much for sharing that. Roxanne? Pray for your friend, a young girl in the midst of a crisis of faith. We'll pray for her. Thank you for sharing that. Sonny? Pick the right day. It was preordained. Thank you. Yes, Amanda. Thank you for sharing that. It's wonderful to see you and to give thanks to God for that good news that you've received. Are there any others? Seeing none, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Most merciful God, you, O Lord, walk with us even when we fail to see, even when we are afraid or too lazy to step forward. You call to us, Lord, even when we fail to hear. You listen for our petitions, our prayers, even when we fail to speak, even when we speak for our own concerns, without caring for yours. You whisper words of love, even when we respond with indifference, even when we show hate to others. You call us to repentance, even when we don't see the need. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Holy One, when we are less than you would have us be. When we are centered on ourselves and not on you. When we care only for ourselves and not for others. Heal our hardness of heart, that we may turn to you anew and to know that you plant the seeds of faith and love and you will make them grow. Open our minds to your Spirit, that we may hear your words and know your presence with us. Refresh our souls, that we may speak of your love not as those who have heard of it, who have read about it, but those who have it and have felt it and wish to share it. Lord, as we come to you in prayer, it is right and it is good for us to lift up our concerns and to pray for ourselves, and we do that. But we know also that you call us to pray for others and to be in communion with others and others' needs. And so we lift up today the names that we have mentioned and those that we have not. We lift them from the knees of our heart to your ears. And we know that you already know who needs and what they need. And we don't believe that you're just waiting for us to pray a certain number of times or in a certain way to act, but rather you are always acting and always ready to help us. Lord, when we pray, we begin to align ourselves with your will and to plug into your energy that stands ready at all times to fill us and revitalize us and inspire us. And when we pray, it opens our eyes to all the miracles that you are doing all around us that we often fail to see because our eyes are closed, our hearts are closed. And when we pray, it helps us to see the needs that are around us. As one person prays for one thing and another person another, Maybe there is something we can do. Maybe there is love that we can share. And so we lift James into your care and we give thanks for his progress so far. We know there is much to go. Continue to strengthen him and his family. For Adeline, again, we continue to pray and give you thanks that she is doing so much better. And again, there is far to go. Continue to strengthen her and her family, Lord, that they may know they are lifted up by those far away that they may never know, but in prayer we are united. We lift up Tina, we lift up Tilly, we pray for them, for the outcomes of surgeries and issues that may be resolved. For the young woman who is losing her faith and going through a terrible ordeal, for the young man who is in the darkest period of his life, we pray that whatever else they have lost, they will not lose you. We know, of course, that they have not lost you. We simply pray that they will know that. And know that if they have you, they have all they need to pick up the pieces and to start again, to move forward and to take step by step into a new day. And we give you thanks for those who have received such graces, for problems that have been solved, for miracles that have occurred in their life. We give you thanks for the good news that Amanda and others have shared. We pray the same for people throughout the world, even those on the other side of the world suffering from an earthquake, from a natural disaster. We pray that in this time, they will not turn away from you, but know that this is when they need you the most. And others may also become united in faith to help people that they've never met and never will. And may that not only then help people in their lives physically, but inspire faith throughout the world by the way that we reach out to one another, and they will know that we are Christians by our love. We pray these things, O Lord, on this day that you have given us, this day that we will rejoice and be glad in, this day that is a gift, as all are to you, some sunny and some warm, some rainy and some cold, but each one another opportunity to grow closer to you, to grow closer to one another, to feel your spirit, to rest a while in your presence, and to share your love. Help us, Lord, to do all these things, that all these things may be done through you and in your name, and all will glorify your name. Together we pray. Amen. The children come forward for the junior sermon. second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, and that's found in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible on page 71. Where we return to a teaching that Jesus gave that has new meaning now that he's seen the resurrection. And we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I must tell you that there are a few things in life I love more than a good story. Even more than a new cookie, I love a good story, even one, and especially one, that I've already heard before. And the same thing is true of a good movie, because really, a movie is a story. It's just a story that's illustrated. I also love it when my children get excited about the same stories I love. My son is so fired up about the new Star Wars movie, which not coincidentally in his mind comes out on his birthday this December. He thinks that this is J.J. Abrams' birthday gift to him. And he cannot wait to see the new Star Wars movie. And I can't either, and the fact that he loves it too makes it even better. It has been a while since I've been able to get really excited about a story. Now, the thing about this, which is great, is that it is an old story with which I'm familiar, but now it is also a new chapter. And I just hope that it doesn't disappoint, because in my head, I have built up how great the story is going to be. And that's what books and movies do. They get us very excited because we want to be able to just lose ourselves in them. And the fact of the matter is that we read a lot of books, and we hear a lot of stories, and we see a lot of movies, but it's rare, those ones that just take us away to a whole new world or open up a new world to us. And those ones are the stories that stay with us, that we come back to again and again. Now, there are stories, and stories are more than just pastimes, but a good one can transport us and give us a whole new world. And they can teach us, and they can inspire us and fill our life with light. I have read many stories over the years. Precious few have been those really good ones, and that's what makes the good ones so special. They don't come around all the time. I think the last story that so incredibly moved me and excited me to the point where I could not wait for the next one to come out was the Harry Potter series. And that's been a few years since they were around, or new, and I have so enjoyed sharing them with Owen as we just began this past year, and I'm thrilled that he likes them. We finished one, and immediately he wanted to know when we were going to read the next one, but I wanted to space it out a little bit. I want it to last. I don't want them to be over so fast. And it's great because there are other stories that I have liked that I've tried to share with him that he said, "That's boring. Where are the pictures?" At one point, I was really, really happy that he liked the movie E.T., because that's another great story. But at one point early on in the story, in the movie, he said, "Are there going to be battles in this?" And there really weren't. And I thought we were going to be in trouble there, but he really loved it. You never know what one person is going to like and what another person won't. But when two people find the story that moves them, it's a great thing they can share. Again, that's what makes books and movies such wonderful things. We share those stories together. Now, as I said, when we were reading the first Harry Potter book to him, he was particularly taken by the twist and the turns of the book, how the person that he thought for sure was going to be the bad guy turned out, in fact, not to be the bad guy and to actually help the good guy, help Harry Potter a little bit. He loved the fact that there were little bits of information that were casually introduced at the beginning of the story that came back later to have a very significant importance and meaning at the end. You know what they call this? They call these things Easter eggs, particularly in movies, where there are little things that are hidden in plain sight, things that you don't notice at first, but later on, once you find them, you wonder how you missed them. Things that make it very interesting and fun to go back and reread the story again or rewatch the movie again, because it takes on new meaning the second time, the third time, the fourth time, after you know how things are going to end up. One thing that all good stories have in common is the feeling that it all makes sense in the end, that secrets are revealed, that misunderstandings are cleared up, that what seemed like this in the end is going to be like that. All be made clear in the end. And that's the thing. If you go into a story knowing how it's going to end, well, what fun would that be? If the most obvious person is always the person who does it, if the most obvious person is always the one who ends up the bad guy in the end, what good is that? They call them spoilers for a reason. If someone tells you the ending of a great story, the story's not as good as it could have been. That's why I believe that the gospel story is, as they claim, the greatest story ever told. Because it's different than all the other stories that we love. Whether you love Wizard of Oz, whether you love To Kill a Mockingbird, whatever story it is that you love so much that you've read 10 times or more, I bet you probably haven't read it as much or heard it as much as the gospel. Here you have a story lost, and all hope is gone, where it gets as dark as it could get. But it all turns right in the end. In fact, the gospel is the direct or indirect archetype of so many of the great stories we love. This story where a hero is torn down, destroyed, but then comes back, and in the end, all is well. That's the gospel story over and over again, and sometimes we see it as any number of other characters, but that's the basic story that we tell. But it strikes me how the gospel story is different from other stories, in as much as Jesus does his best to spoil the ending. He does his absolute best to give it away. He wasn't trying to hide or misdirect. He wasn't trying to mislead. Sometimes he was trying to be as clear as possible, and yet still people didn't get it. We have heard before that Jesus, many times before his death and resurrection, tells people what's going to happen. 3 times in the Gospels, he says, "I will die, and after 3 days, be raised again." It does not get any more clear than that. It does not get any more clear than that. And as we read it, perhaps we understand. But the characters in the story, the disciples, they don't. Another time, Jesus said to the people, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it in 3 days?" Now, this is in the Gospel of John, and the gospel writer, John, interjects to give us a little bit of clarity, to tell us the ending. The gospel writer, John, says, "But he was speaking of the temple of his body." This he said in only the 2nd chapter. In a fiction story, in a movie, he would say that. They would mock him. Later on, he would die and be raised, and then we would come to understand that he wasn't really talking about the temple, but he was talking about himself. But in the gospel, in the 2nd chapter, John gives away the ending. Why does he do this? Because the ending had already been given away. The Gospel of John is believed to be the last gospel written about 80, 90 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. The gospel story had been told again and again. The people who are reading the story are reading the story because they've heard how the end is. And now they want to hear the beginning and the middle. You see, if John is not a good user of spoiler alerts, he is a good example of what they call the hermeneutic circle. The hermeneutic circle. It is the idea that one's understanding of the text as a whole is established as your understanding of each part. And also, the understanding of each part of the text is informed by the understanding of the whole. That's how it is. You read a story, you get to the end, now all of a sudden the parts before make more sense. You go back and reread it. Now you're reading it differently because you know how it's going to end. So now each individual part has new meaning. And that's what happens with the gospel, more than any other story ever told. That's why after the resurrection, the lectionary kicks us back to some of the things that Jesus said earlier. After Jesus dies and is resurrected, we have a couple stories of him appearing to his disciples afterwards, and we have preached on those the last 2 weeks. But now we have a story, a teaching that Jesus gave back in the 10th chapter, way before his crucifixion. Why do we come back to that? Because now it takes on new meaning. Jesus issues one of his most famous I am sayings in the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is the only gospel to have these sayings. This time he says, I am the good shepherd. And then goes on to explain what makes a shepherd a good shepherd. It is that he lays down his life for the sheep. And John records that the hearers of his word at the time were divided and confused. And how would you understand it? If a friend of yours were to say something along those lines, it would sound strange and confusing. And Jesus often taught in these parables that people assumed were metaphors or hidden meanings. But the great secret of Jesus is that so many of his teachings weren't really hidden at all. He tried really, really hard to make it clear, and his followers tried really, really hard to make it unclear. But now we know that when Jesus said that he is the good shepherd, because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, now we know what he was talking about. As he laid down his life for us. And as he said, I lay it down of my own accord. No one takes it from me. Which is also very important because, of course, it was scandalous that he died. As if he had no power. But instead he is saying, no, I let them do that. They had no power over me, but I let them do that. To show you that my words are true and that who I am is true. Now, it should be noted what a remarkable and unique story the gospel is. Well, of course, there are four gospels, what they all are. And they are all written well after the resurrection, and they tell a story with which many people were already immediately familiar. The Gospel of Mark is to be the oldest of the Gospels. But it was still written a good 40 years after Jesus' death. So by that time, people had heard the story. Even if people were only beginning to hear the story, they had already begun to hear the end. Because the disciples, after the good news of Jesus' resurrection, after he told them who he was and spoke with them, they went on to preach the gospel. And they received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And on that day, Peter announced, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from his agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is how Peter introduces the gospel. He is not an author, he is a journalist. He begins with the end. He begins with the lead. The most important fact, Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, you killed, he could not be kept dead, he rose. That's the end of the story. But for Peter, that's how it starts. And for most of us, that's how the gospel story started. And yet, whereas other stories, great as they are, would be totally ruined by giving that ending, for the gospel, it's just begun. Peter begins with the lead. He starts with the spoiler. He gives away the ending, but miraculously, that does not keep people from wanting to know the whole story. And in fact, the gospels were all written down after the disciples spent 40 years and Paul giving away the ending. But people wanted to know the beginning, and they especially wanted to know the middle. They wanted to know the rest. You know how Paul Harvey would say it, the rest of the story? That's what the Gospels did. And that's how we approach the Gospel. That's how like 99.9% of people approach the Gospel. By the time we are able to read the Gospels for the first time, we have almost certainly heard the good news. We may not have understood it, we may not understand all the details, but we have heard the news that Jesus was the Son of God, and he died, and he was resurrected. Or we have heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have heard the good news. We have celebrated Easter. We have seen the movies, so why go back and read the book? We do so because we want to hear the whole story. We want to know all the details. We want to know what it means. We want to know how this will apply to our life. We want to read it for ourselves to see what it is in the story that we might have missed or not noticed before. That's really key, because how many people have heard the basics of the gospel but never really sat down and read it? I don't think I really sat down and read the gospel until I was in college. And even then, it was just because I had to, because I had a test coming up. But at some point, you want to read it for yourself. You're going to hear it in church, and you're going to hear bits and pieces here and there, and you know a lot of it. But at some point, you want to sit down and you want to read it, because you have no idea what's all in there that you might have missed before. And three, and maybe most importantly, we want to go back and we want to read the story, even though we've heard it before, because we haven't heard it this time. I mean, we heard it before when we were 30 and we knew everything. We heard it before when we were 18 and we really knew everything. But now we're 50, we're 60. We want to read it again. We heard the gospel before we were parents and we knew everything, but now we want to read it after we're parents and we don't know anything. Or at least so our children say. We knew the gospel when everything was going great in our life, but now we want to hear what the gospel is when things are not going well in our life. You see, what makes it such a great story? What makes it the greatest story ever told? What makes the Word of God a living God? That it means different things to us in different stages of our life. The words on the page, they stay the same, but man, they speak to us differently. They speak to us differently. Maybe you've heard the great gospel song, Farther Along, that I take for my titles, my sermon today. I've been listening to it a lot lately, and I was surprised at how many people in my iTunes collection have covered it, but the lyrics, they stay the same. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And that is a core statement of the Christian faith. That as we have read the story, we live the story. But we don't understand everything. We know how the gospel story will end, but we don't know how the story of our life will end. And we don't know what everything means. But we believe that farther along, we'll understand. Farther along, we'll know all about it. And when we read the gospel, we get to the end, and what happened before makes sense. We understand what Jesus was saying or trying to say then. And we read it again, and the actions and the words at once were confusing or seemingly unimportant. They take on new meaning. They take on new importance. But we keep reading. Because what separates this story from others is how important it is to us as our lives change. Yeah, we know how it's going to end. We believe that it's going to have a very happy ending, but we don't understand what's going to happen tomorrow. And we don't understand how what has happened in our past is going to get us to that end. And so we read and we read again. Because what we did not understand when we were young, we understand now. And what seemed unimportant 10 years ago and 10 days ago means everything to us now. We read and we reread a story that we already know the ending to, because we are in the process of figuring out the middle of the story and how our story fits into it. We read and reread with the belief that farther along we'll understand it. Farther along we'll know it all. So let's keep reading the story, no matter how many times you've read it before, because it is a great story. It is the greatest story. It never gets old, even though we do, and because we are part of that story. And although this is a story where we already know the ending, figuring out how God will get us there is just as interesting and as important to us as anything else. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems there, pass, and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal 558, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Another good story with which you may be familiar is Mitch Albom's book, The Five People That You Meet in Heaven. And not to give away too much of the ending, but in that book, a person dies and goes to heaven, and the five people he meets, he's surprised to learn, are people that he's already met, some of whom he didn't know he met, or some people he didn't think were very important when he met them. He was surprised at how it all folds out. And in that story, in that message, there is a great deal of inspiration for me in that, and there's also a great deal of fear. Because I long ago came to know that each person you meet is a new chapter in your life. And some are much more important than others, and some are happy chapters, and some are very sad chapters or painful chapters. And to some degree, that's up to us, how it turns out. Not entirely, because of course it's also up to them. But we can't control how other people treat us or respond to us. We can only control how we respond to them, even when they treat us poorly. The point is that we should always recognize in each person we meet the face of Christ in the story of the gospel, because each one of us meets Jesus Christ on our own, and we meet Jesus Christ at this table. And there is no doubt that he is great and we are low, and that he is the Son of God and we are just lowly human beings, and that he is without sin and perfect and we are filled with sin and imperfect. And if he wanted to, he had the right to cast us out, to send us away, to say, get out of my presence, and he did not. He never has. To anyone who wants to know him, he wants to know them. And so we give thanks for that, especially when we come to this table, one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given to us. And I hope that it causes us to reexamine other people in our lives and the way we treat them and welcome them. And we know that just as there are people who rejected Jesus, there are people who will reject us. We cannot control that. But what we can control and are called to do is to show the love for others that Christ showed for us. As he said to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. And we know that that can sometimes be the hardest thing in all the world. But there are no stories in this world better than a love story. And there is no love story in the world better than the love story that Jesus Christ has for us. So as we share this meal this morning, let us give thanks for that. Let us ask his help in sharing his love with others, that they may also be drawn into his story, to know it, to read it, to share it, and become part of it. Now this morning, let us pray.
Father God, we have come here this morning not to claim an award or a prize for being so good, but to claim the love and grace that you offer us here, in spite of ourselves. At times, Father, we have disobeyed your commandments. Others, we have fallen short of your expectations for us. Even others, we have followed other shepherds. So we come here today, Father, in humble contrition, asking for your pardon in the name of Jesus Christ, who died that we might be forgiven, and who rose from the grave so we may have new life. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. delicate in your response to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 82 in the Chalice Hymnal, His Eyes on the Sparrow. Let us stand as we sing. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. May Christ's love fill you this day with the living and enduring Word of God. May Christ's love lift you up and guide you, that you may go forth to transform the world. Amen.
Thank you. wasn't for a good while, but it was, you know, just other people's fault. You know, if you care, it wears you down, so.
Anytime you need anything,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. You guys are awesome.